Ryan, the Federal Reserve Board of Governors did a 50 basis point, 0.5% cut in interest rates here recently. That's a pretty big change from recent policy, actually, in the scope of things, a relatively large cut. Your thoughts on what prompted such a large cut?
There was some debate over whether they do a small cut, 25 basis points, or a big cut, 50. They went big, and I think the reason is that the Fed is changing its mission. The Fed actually has two missions that it has to follow. One of them is to keep inflation low. The other one is to keep unemployment low. And most of the time, it can only do one or the other, but it can't do both at the same time. For the last couple of years, for obvious reasons, it's been focusing solely on inflation. And although I think the Fed bears some blame for inflation going to 9% in the first place, they've done a really good job over the last 2.5 years of getting inflation not quite back to its 2% target, but close to it. And now that they're back close to that target, they're changing away from keeping an eye on inflation and moving towards keeping an eye on the labor market. Things are still good with the unemployment rate, but it's been ticking up the last few months, so the Fed is taking some early action to hopefully forestall a recession. I don't agree with that decision, but that's their line of reasoning.
Inflation has come down, obviously, dramatically from its high point, still, as you pointed out, above the target rate. Can we be confident that this lowering or lower rate of inflation is something that's going to be sustainable, or could it be transitory here? Because a lot of times when these things happen, you have sort of a rebound or bounce back effect.
I don't think this cut by itself will make the inflation rate go back up. And frankly, the only way it's going to go back to that 9% level is if Congress goes on another stimulus binge. During COVID, they passed $5 trillion or more of new spending. The Fed more or less has to help finance that. And when you inject that much money into the economy, that's how you get inflation. That's what happened. So unless that happens again, and I don't think it will because there's no crisis at hand, we're safe from that. But as far as getting it back to the target levels, if the Fed's taking its eye off the prize, markets know that. And if the economy does go south, if unemployment goes up, if growth slows down, markets know that the government's probably going to go back into stimulus mode. And the price of stimulus is inflation. It's a trade-off that there's nothing to be done about that, and that's frankly why inflation isn't back to its target level. It's a credibility issue.
In terms of that labor market, we recently had a correction in terms of jobs created here over the last few months of well over 800,000. Do you find that size of a correction, there's always some amount of a correction, but do you find the size of that to be somewhat stunning, and how does that even come about?
I was a little surprised by it, but I also do not think there was funny business going on. That happens on a schedule every August, every year. And some years it cuts in a way that favors the Democrats, like this year. Other years it cuts in a way that favors Republicans, like it did in 2022 and in 2019. $800,000 is on the big side for these corrections. They're usually between 2 and 500,000 jobs. So it's happened before, but not in probably 20 years where you've had an 800,000 job revision. If I'm the Bureau of Labor Statistics, I might look into updating my methodology. So it's out of normal range, but not by too much.
So as you've pointed out, the Federal Reserve is sort of pivoting here from worrying about inflation to worrying about employment. How do those numbers affect that policy, and particularly when you have a correction of this size?
The rule of thumb is that when you lower interest rates, you stimulate the economy. Say you own a small business. When loans get cheaper, you have to pay lower interest, you're more likely to take out a loan in the first place. The thinking goes that when you lower interest rates, more people are going to take out mortgages, more businesses are going to take out loans to hire people and buy equipment. And the Fed meets every 6 weeks. So don't think of the recent cut as a one-time event. They're going to cut again, probably by just a quarter point in 6 weeks. I think it'll be mid-November when they meet, and then they have another one right before the end of the year, probably another cut coming then as well, another quarter point. So this is the start of a process. What happened recently is not that big a deal by itself, but like you said, it marks a turning point, and that is a big deal.
In terms of the average consumer, Ryan, you pointed out interest rates go down. It's more affordable for us to buy a new car, more affordable for somebody to take out a mortgage to buy a home, new home or a larger home. But how long does it take a cut like that to actually perk its way through the system to a point where the consumer actually sees the impact?
Some of that's already priced in, especially with mortgage rates. They went from a high of 7.8% to, last time I looked, 6.2%. Still pretty high by historical standards, but markets have been expecting the Fed to make a cut for a while now. So part of that was already priced in. But usually when the Fed does something, it's a lag time of about 6 months, maybe a year, maybe longer. But some of that has already been priced in because most people saw this coming. The only debate was whether it was going to be a big or a small cut. Everyone knew that a cut was coming.
We, of course, have a presidential election coming up here in just a couple of weeks. And you did point out that federal spending has a big impact on inflation and interest rates and all these sorts of things. Do you see at this point markets, and they've been up, do you see sort of for the next 4 or 5 weeks, everybody just sort of standing still, being frozen in place, waiting to see who wins? And does who win really make that big of a difference in the end?
In the end, I don't think it will make that big of a difference. There's not a lot of daylight between the two parties when it comes to economic policy. They have their differences in other areas, but when it comes to deficit spending or entitlement reform or a lot of the more substantive economic issues, they're pretty similar. So I think whoever wins the presidential election won't have a big effect on markets in that regard, although Trump, the Republican nominee, has expressed a willingness to intervene in Federal Reserve interest rate policy, whereas Harris would likely take a little bit more of a hands-off approach. But all in all, there's not a lot of difference.
We have been talking with Ryan Young. Ryan, of course, is senior economist at the Competitive Enterprise Institute. Ryan, tell us a bit about CEI. Also, you've written on this interest rate cut and many economic issues. Where can folks find those writings?
CEI is a think tank based in Washington, D.C., and our website is at CEI.org. You can see all of our research there at CEI.org.
Ryan Young, senior economist at the Competitive Enterprise Institute. Ryan, thank you for being back with us.
Thank you.